welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide
everyone to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We are having, in fact, a Christmas party tonight, to say the least. It's Saturday, December 18th. I'm James Edwards. Co-hosting with me this first hour is Keith Alexander, the great, the one and only. And we are, of course, coming to you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio right here in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Our flagship station, but by no means our only affiliate, as we broadcast also to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're simulcasting online as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. It is a big show tonight featuring two of our very good friends and regular guests, Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, and Kevin McDonald, professor at California State University, Long Beach, author, editor of the Occidental Observer. So Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald on tonight, Keith, and that's just really the tip of the iceberg, because we have a lot of intense commentary to bring to the fans in between these two guest appearances. And, of course, again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're tuning on tonight here online, go to cofcc.org. We're having the Political Cesspool Virtual Christmas Party there, cofcc.org. Join the chat room there. We'll be interacting with our friends throughout the program and taking questions from the those assembled in the chat room for Jared and Kevin, respectively. Join us now in the chat room at cfcc.org. Keith, we've had a big week. A couple of the things we did this week was putting up two more videos to the Political Cesspool's website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We did a shot at Sun Studio, and we did one at Graceland as well. What was the purpose of that?
It's the same purpose for everything that we do. We basically want to enlighten people and show them what is happening to America. We're showing the decline of America, and we have plenty of evidence about that here in Memphis, even around Elvis Presley's iconic home. This is probably the only genuine tourist attraction that we have in Memphis is Elvis Presley's home. They've tried to build other ones. They've tried to turn Beale Street into some type of Disney World or something. It's not really working. It's a good place to go, and it has some nightlife, but the only real tourist attraction we have here is Graceland, and Graceland is surrounded by a ghetto. It used to be called Whitehaven. It was one of the early white flight suburbs in Memphis, and it was appropriately named at the time Whitehaven. It was actually named after a Colonel White, and it was named before the segregation era, or the integration era, let me say that, or the civil rights movement era. But then what happened after that is, like in so many areas, it has been overrun. It's now a predominantly black area. And James, I've never seen a neighborhood get better when it transitioned from white to black. And we have innumerable instances of that. One of our commenters on the blog said that we need to go by through various neighborhoods in Memphis and document this for people. And I think that's a great idea. I think that's something we might do, James.
Well, our videos, we just launched this Political Cesspool video project back in October, I believe it was. In these videos, it features us interacting with different personalities within our America First, paleoconservative, race realist movement. In fact, Jared Taylor is going to be on the show in a little bit. I have a video with him posted to the website tonight. But it also features us going around towns and giving a little history. not just history that's applicable to Memphis only, but history that is applicable to all of our people, wherever they may reside, because that which plagues Memphis plagues all of the first world. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And so we're happy to be able to bring these videos to you, which complements our website and our blog, which of course complements the radio program itself, which is the anchor of everything we do. And Keith, you know, it's been a banner year, and we're going to have a banner show tonight. We're just getting started.
I think it's going to be a great show. You know, we've got a contrast in our guest tonight. We've got Jared Taylor, who is an extremely conservative white racialist, as he calls himself, who studiously avoids questions of Jewish power and influence. And then on the other hand, following him, we have Kevin McDonald, who basically deals with virtually nothing else than Jewish power and influence and how that's affecting everything. So I think that's going to be a very interesting study in contrast. Getting back to what we were talking about with the videos that we have, Memphis is like a canary in the coal mine. What's happening in Memphis may not be happening in your specific locale yet, but as Grandma used to say, hide and watch. It's coming to your town soon. As the white population diminishes, as it's predicted to do and as it has been doing, so that in the year 2042, whites in America will be a minority, no longer the majority, I predict you're going to see more and more black people moving to what are now predominantly white areas, because there's a parasite host relationship between whites and blacks. It's like a dog and fleas. Don't kill the dog or all the fleas will die. Well, we see what happens when the dog departs and the fleas are left to fend for themselves. It's called Haiti. It's called Detroit. It's called Camden, New Jersey, East St. Louis, Illinois, Gary, Indiana. Memphis is on the cusp of becoming that. Birmingham is, a lot of other places in America. And as the white population diminishes, black people that want to live in a first world environment will seek out white locales and move there. So consequently, Provo, Utah, and Dubuque, Iowa, for example, may in the next 20, 30, 40 years start experiencing exactly what you're going to be seeing on our video montage about what's happening and has happened to Memphis, Tennessee. So everybody needs to pay attention. You know, John Donne said, ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee.
Well, Keith Alexander, getting the show started in with his typical flair and panache. Ladies and gentlemen, two great guests forthcoming tonight are very good friends, Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald. Couldn't have better guests on the show tonight, so we're happy to bring them to you once again, and they will be forthcoming as this program continues to roll tonight on the Liberty News Radio Network. We are the Political Cesspool Radio Program, and we will be back with you right after these words from our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've not yet joined us in the online chat, the virtual fan party, we encourage you to do so now during this commercial break by logging on to cofcc.org, the Council of Conservative Citizens, cofcc.org. We'll be talking to you in the chat. We'll be talking to you on the air right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I'm telling you, it is a party-like atmosphere tonight here in the studios of AM 1380 WLRM Radio, our flagship here in Memphis, even though the party is happening online at cfcc.org. This is our third consecutive week to do the virtual fan party. And I tell you, it's only getting bigger and better. And I want to publicly acknowledge the work of Kyle Rogers, the intrepid webmaster at cfcc.org, for bringing this idea to the table and making this chat happen. And it's happening right now at cfcc.org. Keep in mind Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald, to come tonight in the second and third hours, respectively. That being said, let us first remind you of something. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is one of your last chances to take advantage of our special Christmas offer that the Political Cesspool is bringing to you. If you go to our website and make a donation tonight of $100 or more, you will get a signed copy of my critically acclaimed book, Racism Schmacism. It's been endorsed by both of the guests who are going to be on the show tonight, Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald, among many others. You'll get that book signed and a copy of Keith Alexander's book, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society. Now, you cannot buy Keith's book a la carte. You cannot go online and find Keith's book. The only way you can get a copy of Keith's book, and it's autographed as well, I might add, is by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org and making a donation tonight. And we will announce the first name and city of anyone who donates to the show tonight live on the air. And, of course, your contributions help keep our show moving forward into the new year. And I tell you, it's been a great, great year. Keith, before we move on to our next topic of discussion tonight, why don't you give the fans a little more information about your booklet, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society?
Okay, I actually wrote it kind of by accident. I had a friend who wanted me to publish something for him as a kind of study guide or aid for him in trying to convert rhino Republicans or mainstream conservative types to a more full-bodied brand of conservatism, what we call paleoconservatism. And he's the one who set this format of seven pillars of civilization. I don't know where he got that from. I've heard of the five pillars of Islam and this and that. But I said, well, that's as good a framework as any, so I used it. And let me tell you that basically one of our commenters, one of the persons that's communicating with us at this online chat, has said that he was surprised at the moderate tone of racism, smacism. Well, let me tell you, that's the same type of charge that could be leveled at my book. What we're, both James and I are doing in our books, we're trying to cope with the reality that people need to crawl before they walk and walk before they run. We're trying to make converts. We're not here to have a mutual admiration society with people that think exactly like us. What we're trying to do is win over converts to paleoconservatism, and as they grow in the movement, they're going to move on to solid food. Now, I've tried to cover the waterfront in a very brief book here. This book is what, maybe
32 pages
long, which ain't much of a book. It's more like a booklet. But what we're trying to do is give people something they can read and digest in an evening that tells them why liberalism is wrong and all the mischief that it has been able to accomplish in various areas of American life or life generally. It doesn't have to be American life. It could be life anywhere. The Christian faith, the family, civil government, commerce, education, arts and entertainment, media, the news media. Things like that. That's what we want people to understand, is how there's been a paradigm shift over the past 60 years, and everything has gotten worse, and the force and the principle and the rationale, the ideology behind this decline is liberalism. And what we're trying to do, James, is get everybody to understand that liberalism in all of its aspects is bad. We can't deal with liberal, with conservatives that say, well, the civil rights movement was wonderful, the way that the American Family Council and the Family Research Council are doing, you know, in response to the SPLC's charges. That's like Lot's wife looking back longingly at Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the way to get turned into a pillar of salt, and that's what's happening to America. As long as you give liberals a safe haven and admit that there is some aspect of liberalism that is good, you can't cut the head off the snake, James.
Well, that's Keith Alexander's book in a nutshell. And as he mentioned, I think this radio program, well, it goes without saying, this radio program is as frank and as candid as you can possibly be on the mainstream FCC airwaves. And as we've always said, we don't say anything on this show to be sensational. We try to tell the truth in love and let the facts speak for themselves. Now, our books are also very factually based. It's just that we envision these books serving as a bridge from the stereotypical Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity listener and allowing them to cross over into the paleoconservative and race realism movement, a movement that we serve as leaders in. And these books hopefully will be tools that will allow people to make just such a transition. And again, getting back to the point, if you want to have both of these books in your hand and help aid the mission of our radio program, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. A donation will get both of these books to you, hopefully by Christmas if you make it tonight, and we will mention the first name, acknowledge with gratitude the first name and location of the donors who contribute during the course of tonight's program. Now, that being said, we've mentioned quite rightly that the political cesspool has never received more media attention than we have this year. We have been featured in over 105 different newspapers spanning the globe. We have been invited to appear on Entertainment Tonight. CNN has taken continued interest in our work, as has a multitude of Hollywood tabloids, magazines, and even a late night comedy show. I believe it was the Jimmy Kimmel Show that did a spoof on us. So the political cesspool is a bona fide newsmaker. And again, it's the support of the audience that allows us to be just that. But the Council of Conservative Citizens is the one making big news this week. Of course, the council is one of the, if not the greatest membership organization out there of which you could be a part. And we encourage everyone to support the council. They have made news this week, Keith, for really leading the charge against this total mockery of European history. Marvel Studios, as the CFCC website reads, declares war on Norse mythology. And this is once again Kyle Rogers leading the charge, as he has done with this online chat that the political cesspool engages in during each live broadcast. Kyle was the one with the vision to say, you know, look, we need to raise awareness of this, and raise awareness he has, Keith. This is getting front page news coverage in papers over in the United Kingdom, I saw today. And of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center is crying foul. And what's going on here is that there's a new movie coming out. I guess it's depicting the legend of Thor, the Nordic Viking god Thor. And one of Thor's cohorts in this movie, Keith, is black. And, you know, obviously, that's egregious and certainly a departure from the God envisioned by the Nordic peoples. But let's keep in mind, this is coming from the same group that pictured God himself as a black man, Morgan Freeman playing God, and I believe it was Evan Almighty. So more of the same, but certainly something we should talk about.
Well, it may just be part of Hollywood's never-ending affirmative action program where they've got to insert a black into every historical situation in every movie script. You know, the pilgrims, apparently there was, we're going to see black pilgrims, we're going to see you know, black Romans, you know, we're seeing it all the time. But in this situation, I think there is a more devious purpose, which we will explore after this break.
And after this break, we're going to pick back up on all the big news that the Council of Conservative Citizens is making. Thor is black? Let's talk about it right after this.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
What Christmas is complete without little Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, I ask you? Big girls don't cry. Well, welcome back to the show, everyone. We're having a party, and if you want to be a part of it, come on, join us. It's COFCC.org. That's the Council of Conservative Citizens, COFCC.org. Join the chat room. Got about 100 people in there right now, and it is it's on fire in there in the chat room right now. And, Keith, before that last commercial break, we were talking about the new movie that is being, I guess it's in production right now, one of the mythological Norse gods is black.
Yes, and it's the product of Marvel Studios, which is a spinoff from Marvel Comics. And, of course, you know, guess who is in charge of Marvel Comics? You think that's a bunch of Southern Baptists or Assembly of God people? If you are of that mind, then we're going to have to declare you wrong. It's the same old suspects, the suspects that Jared Taylor doesn't want to point the finger at. But because of that, you know, they've got a larger goal than just portraying a black in this particular role. They want any portrayal of a male of power and strength and, you know, true heroic dimensions to be not white. And he looks like a steroided up NFL player. And this is what's being sold to the public as the personification of a hero. Now, we have our own heroes, and Thor is one of them. And what they're trying to do is subvert all of this, James. This is just a typical subversion, and so many people don't see it, don't recognize it. And the idea that basically the male leaders of the world should be black is ridiculous, but unfortunately for the young who watch the movies, this is more real than the world that exists outside the front door.
Well, you see constant bombardment every day. Television, magazines, newspapers, any form of media, it is just, it's an onslaught. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and this is what our people are up against. Thank God we have an outlet like the Political Cesspool Radio Program to offer some resistance to this, and what makes the Political Cesspool Radio Program so great, or one of the things, if I do say so myself, and I'm not saying this braggadociously, of course, I'm quite humble of the success we've had and quite pleased with it, and of course all of that success goes to the audience that we have, but the thing is, you know, we are on the mainstream AM, FM airwaves, and we're offering this resistance, and it gives us credibility to be able to broadcast in such a bona fide manner. And that is one thing that I think separates this show from a lot of the others out there. But, Keith, you know, for more information, I guess I should say this to the audience, and Keith, I'll tell you as well, for more information about what's going on there with that Marvel Studios movie, check out cfcc.org. That's where the party is right now. Kyle Rogers done a great job of putting up quite a few posts there that are getting media attention from around the world. Now, Keith, as we continue to transition here, and this our first of 3 hours tonight, what do you have on tap for us next?
Well, I've been cogitating and ruminating, as I normally do, and particularly as a result of our get together this week where we had a guest from out of town who we took around and showed all the sights of Memphis, and it got me to thinking. And what it got me to thinking about is that just like in the comic strip Pogo, we found the enemy and he's us. When we think about who our greatest enemies are, the one indispensable enemy, the one enemy that basically breaks our backs, is other white Gentiles, almost invariably. You know, the other people are outsiders, and there's no reason to take them at face value, and no one should. But what is really bad is the fact that in the list of affirmative action, you know, victim groups, they've managed to put white Gentile women. They've turned our own women against the race, at least to a certain extent. And quite frankly, this is the point of my book. All aspects of liberalism are bad. Feminism is bad. There's no good part of feminism. It's like that song by Lorne Greene from back in the 60s. There's not a drop of good, or not a spot of good in old Ringo, as he proclaimed in that. And there's not a spot of good in liberalism. The civil rights movement, rotten to the core. Feminism, rotten to the core. Think about what happens because of that particular split. We, you know, I don't think the liberals were dumb to start off with women's suffrage as the first aspect of the liberal agenda, because they got into the voting electorate people that want to be nice above all else. And unfortunately, being nice Remember what Leo DeRocher said, nice guys finish last. You know, I can't tell you how many women I have encountered in my life that have said something to the effect that, you know, they just loved, that they just, it just struck a responsive chord in them when Rodney King said, can't we all just get along? Well, the left doesn't want to get along. The left wants to bury us like Nikita Khrushchev wanted to bury us. And the sooner people realize that, the better off they will be. I will tell you that, for example, like Leanne Toohey of the movie Blindside.
Oh, Keith, I've got to interrupt. I apologize for interrupting. I don't normally do that to Keith when he's on a roll. He said the magic word, though. The Toohey family. And, Keith, you'll recall a particularly excited phone call that I gave you on Monday night. My wife and I had front row tickets to see an NBA basketball game here. And it was my beloved Portland Trail Blazers versus the hometown Grizzlies. Now, keep in mind, the only reason I still even watch professional sports is I have a brain that works. I filter out all that heinous nonsense that we see out there, the caste system. I still like sports. I played basketball in high school. I'm a basketball fan. It's a rite of tradition, nothing more. But the point is, Sean Toohey, the father of the Toohey family of the Blind Side fame, is now the patriarch of the Toohey family, is now a color television commentator for the Memphis Grizzlies. And no further was I from him than I am from Keith Alexander tonight here in our studios, a couple of feet. And, you know, I wanted to tell him what I thought of him, but I also wanted to watch the basketball game, and those two didn't go together, because if I had said what I wanted to say to him, there would have been no basketball spectating for me that night. But I did call Keith and said, Keith, you're not going to believe who I'm about 2 feet by, and it was Sean Toohey. Not to get you off track, Keith, but you got to remind him what the Toohey family is all about.
Right. The Toohey family is the family that was featured in the movie Blindside, and in based on the book of the same name written by one of Toohey's former classmates at Isidore Newman High School in New Orleans, the same high school that the Mannings, Eli, Cooper, and Peyton attended. Now, the reason we mention Leanne Toohey is that she is so symbolic of what's happened to a lot of white women, and they don't understand the relationship between what they say and what happens to in their own marriages, for example. Now, Leanne Toohey has a husband who, unlike the guy that was portrayed in the Blindside movie, is truly an alpha male, okay? He's not the all-shucks walking wallet that Leanne's husband is portrayed as being in Blindside. But a lot of white women, white Gentile women, particularly upper-class white Gentile women, are involved in what they what Ian Jobling has called competitive altruism. This is the way they compete with one another, proving how nice they are and also how bulletproof they are. They and their children and their family don't have to worry about affirmative action and about giving till it hurts to black people, because they are so wealthy and so well off and so insulated from the fray that they don't have to worry about it. Well, a lot of people are picking this up. You know, the elites do set the tone and the pace for the rest of society very often. And a lot of white women, particularly here in good old Memphis, Tennessee, are just jumping on the bandwagon, getting involved in one hands across the ghetto charity after another, to the point that basically there is no scholarship money available in Memphis from any private charity or public charity for that matter for white children that need help going to college. But on the other hand, these women tend to be not less than satisfied with their husbands and their earning potential and their position in society when they get laid off and things like that. It leads to divorce. Well, we're going to pick this back up after the next break that's coming on, but they don't seem to see the cause and effect between their macro position and their micro experience, James.
Keith Alexander, everybody. We got one more segment with him as co-host, and then we're going to get into Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald. It is going to be a big night. Stay tuned. We'll
guys,
be right back.
We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, hey, as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, at least those of you, now if you're driving around in your car tonight in Portland, Oregon, or in Utah, or in Memphis, or in any of the other cities that carry our program on the AM or FM dial, you're not going to know what's going on in the chat room. At least I hope you're not on a laptop while you're driving, you know, reading the comments. But if you're listening to us online tonight, and you've joined us at cfcc.org, you will see that the one and only political cesspool co-host, Winston Smith, has signed into the chat room. And as Keith Alexander can attest, they have gone, they've gone on a rampage here. Yes, an online feeding frenzy, asking questions of Winston. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of positive energy in the CFCC chat tonight. COFCC.org is their website. Join us there in the chat room, the Political Cesspool and Council of Conservative Citizens working in cooperation to bring you this fan party, online fan party, for now the third week in a row. And I think, Keith, it's going to be something we do continuously throughout the new year, which is right around the corner. But that being said, let's get it back to Keith. We only have one more segment with Keith. Got two more hours in tonight's show. Jared Taylor and Kevin McDonald still on deck tonight. So we're still just beginning in tonight's Odyssey. But before we get to Jared or Kevin, we're going to finish with Keith, who is with us for the first hour, and first hour only, much to the chagrin of many of your fans, Keith. But what do you got for us for the final few minutes we have with you?
Well, let's get back to the topic we were on. There is a divorce epidemic among white Gentiles in America, and I'm sure in England and the rest of Europe. Now, there is not a divorce epidemic among blacks in America, because few blacks bother to get married. They jump over the broomstick or whatnot. We've got over 70% illegitimacy rate in the black community, so marriage isn't a problem. So if marriage isn't a problem, divorce certainly isn't going to be a problem for them. But among whites, divorce is about a 50% of phenomenon. It means one out of two marriages ends in divorce. Well, one of the reasons is because of the effects of affirmative action. When women decide that they have to go out to work and their husbands get laid off or make less money than they do, there seems to be almost a biological imperative at work here, and they don't seem to be able to hold these marriages together. Women get dissatisfied with their husbands. Well, their constant promotion of blacks, particularly through charities that give blacks affirmative action for getting into good jobs, good schools, yada, 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 things like that, how could that not have an effect on the job prospects of white males? Like I've said before in the last couple of weeks, everything about liberalism over the last 60 years has made it more difficult and more burdensome on whites and white families, and has reduced white birth rates. On the other hand, everything about the last 60 years has promoted and empowered non-whites and therefore made their lives easier. And as a result of that, you know, that apparently these women think they can go ahead and support all these black charities. They can, you know, be these nicey-nice women going out here and mentoring kids in the ghetto and whatnot. What they're doing by mentoring these kids in the ghetto academically is preparing them to displace their own children and grandchildren in the economic order. You know, charity begins at home, folks. Let's start helping whites. Whites are the ones that need it. And on the other hand, you have seen just about every charity that used to provide scholarships for white children going to college, it's been allowed to be commandeered so that it solely serves the interest of blacks. Now, where does all this come from? It comes from this imposition of a sense of white guilt. Let me lay this one on you. Have you ever known a black person to apologize for being a member of the NAACP, or a Jewish person for being a member of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith? No, they're unashamedly partisans for their own group. Now, why in the world can't we do the same thing? We need to be able to organize for ourselves so that we can promote our own political interests, our own personal interests, our own racial interests, and we need to be on the same footing as every other racial and ethnic group in the world. Unfortunately, we've allowed ourselves to be the only group that apologizes. I've never heard blacks, for example, say to white people, you know, we've messed up your society. We are disproportionately responsible for violent crime. We're disproportionately responsible for illegitimacy. We're disproportionately responsible for criminality and for government employment and being on welfare rolls and stuff. And we really owe everybody an apology, and we need to do something about it. And, you know, we're going to put our money where our mouth is, and we're going to do something financially. Of course, you've never heard anything like that. On the other hand, the group that is responsible for everyone else's prosperity, white Gentiles, is the only group that apologizes. How this particularly, you know, upside-down universe has come to be, you know, we could spend several programs on that, but the fact of the matter is we need to understand that rather than apologizing, we are the people that are leading, and we're the people, we're the fountain of prosperity. If things continue as they are and whites diminish as the majority in America and in Europe, it will be a catastrophe, not just for white people, it will be a catastrophe for all of Europe and America and every other European-derived society in the world, because when we leave, prosperity leaves with us, folks. We need to stand up and be counted. We need to be the people that actually get out there and say, toot our own horn and start protecting our own interests. All of these white women that are getting divorces as a result of their husbands being laid off, the fact that they have better jobs. See, the old nuclear family was the basis of the middle class in a capitalist society. With the division of labor, with the husband, the father as the primary breadwinner, the woman being in charge of the children and keeping a nice, neat, clean, orderly home, preparing meals, things like this, and the children liberated from the necessity of going out to work. They could focus on studies, focus on self-development so that they could become good, productive adults. That worked wonderfully in America, in Britain, in Europe generally, and that's what led white people to being the most prosperous people in the world. Now, everything that has happened since then has been, you know, undermining that. That's the intent of liberals, to undermine what is happening, and what has happened. And see, basically what liberalism intends is the total destruction of the middle class. The middle class is what the founding fathers intended when they talked about the general welfare. It's the only phrase that's used twice in the U.S. Constitution. The general welfare would be the welfare of the middle class, because that's where most of the people fit in America. We have a group of poor and a group of very wealthy, but they're rather small. The vast majority, you kind of got a bell curve distribution here. The vast majority of that bell curve are people that are in the middle class, and this is what is being destroyed through outsourcing of jobs. But with all that, and again, where does outsourcing of jobs come from? It comes from the left. It's not the brainchild of the John Birch Society, for heaven's sakes. When will people understand what's going on in America? We've got to preserve the middle class. The middle class is a Western white invention. It ties into capitalism. Quite frankly, if your efforts aren't going to benefit your own family, why do it? That's what's happening increasingly in America. You're seeing, for the first time in America, over 50% of the workforce working for the government. And you have the largest number ever on public assistance. Everybody is, you know, dependent upon the government in one sense or another, and the middle class is shrinking and about to disappear. You better wake up, smell the coffee, and quite frankly, stop supporting our enemies through charities and otherwise. Support your own people, James.
Keith Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening online and not in your car, I don't want you to take your hands off the steering wheel. I want you to give him a round of applause. I want you to literally clap. That is the kind of commentary that makes the political cesspool the real deal. I hear our producer in Utah clapping right now for you, Keith, as I shake your hand. Gander, one of the participants in our chat room at cfcc.org, said you were rolling like a bowling ball, another 300 game. Another perfect game for Keith Alexander. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
We're the best because I work with the best, and Keith Alexander is simply the best. And listen, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we go from Keith Alexander to Jared Taylor. I tell you, that's like trading in a Lamborghini for a Ferrari. Just, you know, top class. Kevin McDonald coming on later. We got all the fine, the best of the best. All of the brightest minds in the movement are on the show tonight. Let's see. Let's just put it that way. We got to take a break, though. I'm James Edwards. We'll be back with more right after this.
Little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit and blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.